I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
The words of St. Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, he says, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. This is a Terry and Jesse show. We're putting the spotlight of truth upon this culture of death, and we're like a lighthouse amidst the gathering storm. We want to pray America great again, and we want to speak the truth in charity. I'm on duty. Terry, what about you?
Jesse, I'm on duty. And if those who are watching me on YouTube, they think I'm going back into real estate because I got a suit and tie on. No, I'm still selling real estate for heaven. That's what I'm doing. But I do have a very important interview after our show with John Henry Weston from LifeSite News. I'm going to try and fire the troops up to fight the good fight. But today's show, Jess, I'm excited. It's every day I get excited because we get to proclaim the gospel. I mean, that you can't get any better than that. It's soul food. But we're going to be talking about a call for a silent succession from big tech. We've been talking about how they're taking our voice away, how we need our own media system. So we're going to talk about that. Also, President Joe Biden eats and drinks his own spiritual death, meaning, wait a minute, he says he's Catholic, he prays, he goes to church every Sunday, has a rosary in his pocket, and he's going to Holy Communion. Well, what does the church say about receiving Holy Communion, and what state you should be in? Also, Jess, this is another one on Joe Biden. What does it mean to be Catholic? And this is really interesting because I think it needs to be asked because scandal is questioning a lot of people. They're saying, what do Catholics believe? There's so much scandal. Do they have any real teachings? Well, we're going to show you that we do, and we're going to quote Scripture in the Catechism. And I also have some good news, Jess. A 116-year-old nun, she survived COVID-19. And you know what she said, Jess, in her interview? She says, I wasn't afraid to die. Are you kidding me? I'm praying for the world right now. And here's an interesting statistic. It's worldwide. 91% of the people who die from COVID are older than 65 years old, and they're frail and they're suffering from serious chronic diseases. Hey, Jess, what the heck? Why aren't our kids back in school? You see, we know that. But there's something going on, and we've talked about that. But I just want to say kudos to this nun, Sister Andre, a French nun who's going to celebrate her today on the Our Lady of Lourdes Day's feast day. So happy birthday, Sister, and thank you for your lively faith. But before we get to all these topics, Jess, let's get our soul food in, if you could read from the gospel.
Yep. Here's another bit of good news before I do the soul food. The mass obligation to attend is going to be restored on March 14th in the Archdiocese of Detroit. So hopefully other bishops around the country see what Archbishop Vigneron is doing there. I think he's the vice president of the USCCB.
He is.
So he's going to be restoring Sunday mass attendance as obligatory.
Good.
March 14th. So that's in less than a month.
Yeah.
Hopefully other bishops around the country say, you know what, it's time we
work.
We get courageous. We tap into our apostolic courage and open
Amen.
Churches.
Put our big boy pants on.
Yep. Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Jesus went to the district of Tyre. Mm-hmm. He entered a house and wanted no one to know about it. But he could not escape it. Soon a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit, that's a demon, heard about him. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to drive the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. She replied and said to him, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's scraps. Then he said to her, for saying this, you may go. The demon has gone out of your daughter. When the woman went home, she found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, oh boy.
There's a lot to talk, short, but there's a lot to unpack here. Let me just mention that this the Syrophoenicians, these were two cities that were in the Mediterranean coast, the north of Israel. Well, back then they called it Palestine. And it was predominantly Gentile in population, so the Jews and the Phoenicians, they didn't get along.
Nope.
And also, you'll notice that the Syrophoenician woman talking to the Lord Jesus Christ with a possessed daughter, she's saying she realizes that she's not part of the covenant. She's a Gentile. And so she's asking Jesus. Notice she's doing what? She's doing prayers of petition, mm-hmm. Supplication, and prayers of intercession for her daughter. See, that's the way a parent is supposed to, specifically mom. I've seen a lot of moms, both Pentecostals and even in the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. that they try to act like priest, and they, you know, set up over in the basement of the parish on Tuesday night, you know, maybe Mrs. Ferguson or Mrs. O'Connor, and they tell people, come on over here and I'll pray over you and I'll heal you. I've got the gift of healing and I've got the gift of driving out demons. And so you got lines of people going to different parishes on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, to Mrs. O'Connor or Mrs. Ferguson or Mrs. Martinez as they're down in the basement. And Father kind of knows what they're doing and stuff, but he doesn't care. He's just happy that the parish is being used. And she's out there praying over people, acting like a priest, exactly like a priest, the laying on of the right hand and driving out demons. Well, let me ask you a question for those people that are involved in that. Where's that in the Bible? Show me one passage in the Bible where it says a woman is supposed to put her right hand over anybody's head and call a demon out and drive it out. Where is that in the Old and New Testament? In fact, where's that in sacred tradition? Yeah, that's what I thought, crickets.
Yeah.
But yet, this is a practice that's very common in the Catholic Church as well. They've borrowed it from the Protestant Pentecostals. And this is an unbiblical practice. So moms out there, if you want to know how to drive out a demon from your children, read today's gospel. It's called supplication prayers. Look at Jesus, pray to him, cry to him, do penance, and do it day after day after day after day. Like this woman showed perseverance, like, I'm not going to leave until you heal my daughter, because I know you can do it, because you're God. The prayers of supplication and intercession and petition for your children are the most powerful prayers that a mom can pray according to the New Testament. Again, even for moms that have unconverted husbands, that's another question I get all the time. Jess, should I just, you know, lay my right hand over my husband as he's kneeling down and I'm praying over him and driving out the demon of unbelief? Let me ask you a question. Where's that in the Bible? You're learning that. This is the Protestant influence inside the Catholic Church that came in 1965 like Niagara Falls. These are unbiblical, dangerous practices. A woman is called to do the same thing. 1 Corinthians 7:14. The believing spouse sanctifies or consecrates or makes holy the unbelieving spouse. How do you do it? Just like today's gospel. On your knees, praying to Jesus in prayers of supplication, prayers of petition, prayers of intercession, as in penance, and in crying as well. I mean, this is all sacrificial form of prayer. This is the way our Lord Jesus Christ, he brings healing to your family when there's a prayer warrior on their knees on your family. And that's what all women are called to become, Terry. They're called to become like the Syrophoenician woman or like Saint Monica's. Terry?
Yeah, see, we've got some questions coming right at us right now on this topic because it's spiritual warfare is number one. The mother asks, my son wants to pray these supplication prayers. He's an adult for his cousins and for other family members. Is that permitted? Right here.
Good question. Any one of us, based on what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and following, mm-hmm. all of us are called to make prayers of intercession one for another. So that's something that's part of our obligation as Catholic Christians. But the supplication prayers that we make, for example, you should pray, for example, the rosary for those family members, mm-hmm. the divine mercy. Sure. Those are supplication prayers because here's what you're doing. You're calling upon our Lord, our Lady, the angels and saints to heal, to bless and deliver that family member that you're praying for. Now, here's what you can't do, cannot do.
Right.
You cannot go over their house and raise your right hand in the air and act like a Catholic priest because you have no authority over that family and start saying, I bless you. I drive out the demon of atheism from this house. I drive out. You can't do that because you're not a priest, A, and B, the only person that can pray those type of prayers in a house is the father, the biological father. The sacramental father of the family is allowed to say, I. He's the only priest of the house. Anybody else has to pray, Lord Jesus, Blessed Virgin Mary, my extended family, the Romeros over in Simi Valley. They're struggling with alcohol and atheism and drug addiction. Lord, I beg you to help them. Mother Mary, I ask you just to pray for them and protect them and drive any evil spirits away from their household. See what I did? That's called deprecatory prayer. I'm asking Jesus, Our Lady, the angels and saints to do the heavy lifting. I'm just asking. But I'm not saying, I drive out the demon of atheism from the Romero family in Simi Valley, California. I have no authority to do that. And if you start doing that, it's basically you're starting to push a demon in the chest, and a demon's going to say, this guy's out of his lane. And guess what happens? It's called retaliation. The demon will retaliate against your family because you stepped out of your lane of authority. You're acting like a priest.
Here's a follow-up question when we come back. It's a teaser. What about spouses that are married? The sacrament of marriage, can they impose hands on each other and pray for each other by laying hands on each other? What a great question to ask. Jess, you lit a fire here. We'll be right back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Our Lady of Lourdes,
pray for us.
For us. Today's our feast day, by the way.
Exactly.
And just want to remind you also that the month of February is the month where it's devoted to the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So sometime during this month, try to do the Stations of the Cross. Go to your parish, or you can even do them on your house. You got your iPhone. You could walk around your backyard. And also what I'm doing this month is my rosary this month. Every day is only the sorrowful mysteries for the month of February, and that way I can meditate and focus on the passion of our Lord. Terry?
Jesse, the question came, something that I do every night with my wife. I bless my wife before we go to bed, and she blesses me every single night with holy water, okay? And the question came from one of our listeners about spouses. Can they impose hands on each other to pray for each other? I mean, let's face it, the role of your husband is to get the wife to heaven, and the role of the wife is to get the husband to heaven. You sanctify each other. So just give us some suggestions for this caller who's asking about praying over their wife and vice versa.
Great question. As Catholics, every single one of us that's baptized, the catechism says that we're subordinate to Christ, but we're priests, prophets, and kings with a small p, okay? Subordinate to Christ, derived from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a husband and a wife, the husband is the head of the home, the wife is the heart of the home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, both of them, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 4 all the way to 14, both of them have rights over each other's body. This is important.
Yep.
It says it right in the Bible. Anita has rights over my body. I have rights over her body. That's right in Scripture. That's based on natural law.
Yep.
And so as the Saint Joseph of the house, I'm the priest of the house, I can bless her because I have rights over her body. And so I'm allowed to bless her as the priest of the house. Now, I could put my right hand over her head and bless her because I'm the priest of the house. She also has rights over my body, so she has also the rights to bless my body and also to pray deliverance prayers to drive out any evil spirit. The only difference is that because she's not the priest of the home, she can't put her right hand on my head. She could put, when I would tell women, basically, if you want to follow the pattern of what Pope Pius XII calls, the woman is the heart of the home. And a woman is called, according to Jewish theology, the Jews say that Eve was taken from the side of Christ, and the rib that covered the place where Eve was taken from covered Adam's heart. So notice something very interesting. The rib where Eve was taken from covered Adam's heart. This is probably why Pope Pius XII says the woman is the heart of the home. Probably has some Jewish underpinnings. And so when a wife prays for her husband, since she's called to guard his heart, a good thing would be to put your hand on his heart and pray, not his head, because you're not the priest of the home, but you put his hand on his heart. And I'll tell you, it works. I almost died about 3 years ago here in Phoenix, Arizona. I had pulmonary embolism, and both of my lungs were clogged, 90% clogged with what's called a pulmonary embolism. I was rushed to the hospital. They took me to ICU. They put all kinds of stuff down my throat, down my nose. And I was in a state of grace. So I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. You know, I'm going to just kind of die and stuff, you know, slow death here. You know, I'm cool. So I'm right there just talking to Jesus and saying, all right, I'm ready. Did an act of contrition. I was actually like, yeah, this is kind of cool. I'm gone. I'm
checking
out.
Here.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm about to see God. Yeah, there's going to be some time in purgatory, but you know what? I'll be out because I got a good wife that's going to do the Gregorian masses and stuff and other people. I got my bronze scapula around my neck. It won't be that long. Well, my wife would have none of that. She grabbed my book, my Lord Prepare My Hands for Battle. I have some sections on healing prayers there. She puts her hand, not on my head, on my heart. And Anita began praying nonstop, probably for about 3 hours, over and over. Was she praying just like this woman in today's gospel? Jesus, heal my husband. Jesus, you can do it. Jesus, I need him. Lord Jesus Christ, I beg you. I'm his wife. I 3 hours, and I'm listening. And it's funny because I'm on the bed. I'm like saying, Lord, don't listen to her. I'm like ready to take off, man. But again, the next day the doctors came in and said, they looked at another x-ray of my chest. They said, we have no idea what happened overnight. We've never seen this happen before. They said, we're doctors, so we don't talk like this, but this is nothing less than a miracle. What did you do overnight? I said, see that woman over there? He says, yeah. I said, she was talking to Jesus for 3 hours and he listened.
It's a great story, Jess.
Yeah, so what did she do? She put not her hand on my head.
No, on your chest.
She put her hand on my heart. Yep. Again, she's called the guard. Woman, his wife is called to guard the heart of a man.
Yep.
Again, that's where Eve came from. But still, she prayed supplication prayers like this woman in today's gospel, asking Jesus, begging Jesus, petitioning Jesus, and Jesus listened to her. Why? Number one, she was in a state of grace. Number two, her prayers were according to the divine will of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Number three, she prayed with specificity. God wants you to be specific. Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive. He wants you to be specific. And number four, she has rights over my body. 1 Corinthians 7:14. So God honored the fact that she's claiming rights over my body.
Yeah. Well said, Jess. Thanks for sharing that personal story. I think that really is important. Jess, I'd like to shift gears from spiritual warfare right to a topic where Andrew Torbat, CEO of All Tech Media Platform, it's called Gab, called for a silent succession of Christians in a blog post earlier this week. And he's urging people like us, Jess, conservatives, to boycott big tech and other leftist companies. That's, you know, great, great idea. I'm all for it, Jess.
He's a Christian guy, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he loves Jesus. I know that.
Yeah, and I hope that he allies himself or brings as well Parler, because Parler's also they also got deplatformed by I think it was by Apple or by Google, and I took this guy at his word yesterday. I deplatformed from Facebook and from Twitter, and yesterday I signed up for Gab, and I'm also going to sign up for Parler as soon as they're able to find a server. But I agree with this guy Andrew Torba, the CEO.
Yep,
is that we as patriots, conservatives, and people of faith, Christians, Catholics, and Protestants, we need to find our own big tech networks, because these guys, it's only days before every single one of us, when you say something they don't like, they're going to censor you. They're censoring all our good friends. And so this guy Torba, I think he's onto something. He also noted that Gab has been deplatformed by more than 25 service providers, including Apple and Google. He says, however, I rejoice and praise God because this is the CEO of Gab. I rejoice and praise God because I know that he's working to separate the wheat from the chaff. I like that.
Yeah.
So he calls himself a Christian tech founder. And despite Andrew Torba, this young guy, being blacklisted, Gab has gained millions
of new users
yep. since Twitter permanently banned President Trump, him for life.
Yeah.
And they also unleashed a wide ranging purge of conservative voices, according to Torba. And President Trump himself has joined Gab with the first new post from a dedicated Gab account made from him appearing Friday. And this young Christian CEO of this alternative tech social media company, he says this: I'm in the process of transitioning every part of my financial expenses to support Christian businesses, Christian media companies,
yep.
Christian content creators, and Christian people. He says, I'm done giving my money to the enemy and funding the destruction of our country and values. And he's encouraging Andrew Torba, this young Christian CEO, is encouraging everybody else to do the same. Because he really put it out there.
He did.
He says, look it. He says, deeply examine the businesses,
that's
brands,
right.
and media companies you currently support both financially and with your time. Andrew Torba said, if you're not serving God, you're serving Satan. Wow.
He's a black and white Christian.
From a young guy. Yeah. Yeah, he sure is. Yeah, Terry, this guy, he's obviously, he's red-pilled. He's completely red-pilled. And Andrew Torba realizes that Satan is running a lot of these big tech companies. And he's laid out our present situation pretty clearly. And as our Lord Jesus Christ says, he who has ears, let him hear. I think this guy's a man of goodwill. He's a fellow traveler.
Yeah.
He's a fellow follower of Christ. And we conservatives, patriots, and people of faith, we need to come up with parallel networks of media
That's
platforms
right.
in order to communicate the truth, not our truth, the truth.
Amen.
And the censorship and the thought control, these are all communist tactics. And the Democrats are using this masterfully here in our country right now. They want to re-educate us. They want to censor our speech. And that's what big tech is all about today.
Well, he's given us a wake-up call. He says, we have naively believed that pagans, I like the way he describes people, just yeah. straight talk, man. It's biblical language. Pagans and others would not cut us down the moment they got into power, as they were seeing unfold before our eyes over the past few decades. Think about this. Why did it take the social media people to get rid of Trump forever? They didn't do it while he was the president of the United States, did they, Jess? Nope. They waited till his power was off. He wasn't the president, and then they can do it. And they're going to do that now. Talk to your kids about these things. And I like what he said about urging homeschooling if possible, because just the schools are what is corrupting a lot of our kids. He says, cut the cable cord. He says, delete the big tech apps from your phone and of your own. We have a lot of work to do, but remember that we have the creator of the universe on our side. I like that, Jess.
Yep.
He says, through him, all things are possible. He also slammed the cancel culture and the radical race theory called the later a demonic imitation of the gospel. I haven't heard anybody describe it that way, but he has a biblical worldview, Jesse, does he not?
Oh, heck yeah.
Man, I like it.
Yeah, and this whole critical race theory that's taught in colleges, this is what promotes racism.
Exactly.
And class warfare. And again, he calls it a demonic imitation of the
Sounds
gospel.
Sounds like you, Jesse.
Yeah, I'd get along with this guy. I hope, I'm sure we're going to run across one of these days. Maybe in a jail cell together, who knows?
Yep.
But he's actually said that that these CEO, these big tech companies must be mocked, shunned, and rebuked by all Christians. and also the type of the cancel culture, the critical race theory. These things are being used by the left to prey on the impressionable, malleable minds of our young people.
Yep.
And they're enslaving our young people to practice Marxism.
Yep.
And they're training our young people to hate Christianity without even realizing it.
Well said, Jess. I want to remind everybody, we're going to be having more of these one-day conferences coming up. It's just like the spiritual warfare conference that we did. I want people to know that We're going to be putting more of these on. If you want to still get conference talks, go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio, because we do have them on our internet. And it was a wonderful conference at that time. We're going to be taking Father Don Callaway on Mercy Sunday, and we're going to be playing his video on explaining divine mercy. This is going to be more and more where we have to use the videos in our internet to communicate to you here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. When we come back, we'll have more to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and His Bride, the Church.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Our friends, Terry, on LifeSite News, just talking about the last topic, they've been banned from
YouTube.
From YouTube as well. John Henry Weston, I know they've also been threatened by big tech, and they've been censored now because, again, they put out biblical worldviews all the time. And again, we've also said that Twitter's also put a lifetime ban on former President Donald Trump. Let me give you a bit of good news before we go on to the next topic.
Yeah.
There's an actress by the name of Gina Carano.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously she's a believer.
Yeah.
Lucasfilms has just fired actress Gina Carano.
Jesse, not just fired, she can never work in Hollywood. They took that away. That opportunity's gone. Not only being fired. Yeah, keep going. Dennis Prager talked about it this morning. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, so Gina Carano, from what I know, and Terry will have more information.
Yeah, I do.
She was fired for a social media post that she put on. The left called it abhorrent and unacceptable. So Gina Carano was criticized for a post that compared criticism against conservatives to oppression Jews face under Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
So Gina Carano, who starred in the Star Wars show, The Mandalorian, and on the Disney streaming service, she's been canceled and fired from Hollywood.
Yeah. And Jesse, what's interesting, Dennis Prager challenged them to come on and tell us about anti-Jewish statements. He's a Jew. And he said, I challenge you, anyone, to come on to my show and talk about this. He called them cowards. He said they're cowards to go down and say this is anti-Jewish rhetoric. So anyhow, this is going on all over. And I want to remind everybody, I'm going to be interviewed in about an hour or two with John Henry Weston at LifeSite News to talk about how to inspire people to keep fighting the good fight in these times. But if we ever get cut off, I want people to go to our website, because we do have an app where they can't control. This little phone right here, you can get our free app. Absolutely free. Free app, free. Just, know that if we get cut off of any social media, which, just to be honest with you, I'll say it publicly, we're it's coming. So we're preparing right now. We're on Parler. We're on other forms, conservative communications devices.
Rumble.
Yeah, Rumble. We're on that, because that day can come soon and we'll be ready for it. So I just want to alert the people to that. But again, Jess, these are the days right now. As Dennis Prager says, the left can't do anything right.
That's right. Yeah, the left. That's a good way of putting it. Terry's up. Joe Biden is eating and drinking his own spiritual death.
Sad.
Every single time he receives Holy Communion. Oh. Those are the words, not of myself, the Bible, the MP. It's 1 Corinthians 11, verses 26 to 31. Anybody who receives
condemnation
our Lord in an unworthy manner,
yep,
not discerning it's the body and blood of our Lord, and in an unworthy manner, they're eating and drinking to their own condemnation. I see pictures one after another.
Yeah.
Joe Biden at the cathedral in Washington, D.C., receiving Holy Communion at the hands of a cardinal. This is just adding scandal upon scandal. And one person on radio called the mass that he goes to at the cathedral, they called it the mass for Planned Parenthood. I mean, think about it.
Yep.
Joe Biden is an enemy of the Catholic faith. Why? He's a baptized Catholic, and we call somebody who formally rejects the teachings of the Catholic Church, as he has done, that's called formal heresy. And somebody who also rejects the teachings of the church, that's called apostasy. So Joe Biden himself, he holds himself out as a faithful Catholic, yet he does not believe in the church's fundamental teachings about the human person or about human sexuality. In fact, he advances this unbelief through public policy, and he uses his brute force of the federal government behind his secular humanist beliefs. This reminds me of what Fulton Sheen said years ago. He said, there's a difference between a bad man and a wicked man.
Right.
A bad man sins personally. A wicked man takes his sins and maximizes damage by forcing other people to embrace his sin. Joe Biden is not a bad man. He's a wicked man. And all of us knew what was going to happen as soon as he took the oath. We all knew what he was going to do. He reinstated the Mexico City policy targeting to kill the unborn children in the developing world, third world countries, because he's an abortion extremist. He favors abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy and beyond. And mark my words, there's already conversation by the left because they control everything right now. I bet we're going to get the conversation once again. They're going to start talking about infanticide now, that they control everything. And what is infanticide? The practice of killing a baby after it's been born. Terry?
You know, Jesse, practicing Catholics rejected Biden, and they say that it was a split vote with Trump. But in other words, those who don't practice their religion said, no big deal. And I just want to say this to our shepherds in the kindness, as kind as I can say it. Stop being a coward. Is that kind? Stop being a coward. You're a shepherd. You're supposed to guard the flock. And Jesse, every time I see hear a bishop say, oh, I don't want to politicize the Eucharist. Oh, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to change. He's been receiving Holy Communion for 30 years. I can't do that. Come on, put your big boy pants on, Bishop. Because that's what God's calling you to do. You're not here to make everybody happy. You're here to get us to heaven. And I just want to challenge bishops who are afraid to challenge us as lay people. If we're sinning and we're living in a state of mortal sin objectively and fornicating and doing all these other things that are wrong, don't just say, oh, it's okay. We all are welcome. Cut it out when all are called to repent. I'm supposed to get to confession on a regular basis. Joe Biden, the same thing. But unless our leaders call them, the confusion will continue and Catholics are going to go, well, what do Catholics really believe about abortion since Joe Biden is a devout Catholic? Do you get my message, shepherds? Act like a shepherd, not like a coward. I'm done.
And in case the shepherds, any shepherds are listening, you have the authority to excommunicate Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and other politicians who advocate for abortion and other immoral programs. It's here. I'll help you. It's Canon 1331 to Canon 1334. So you got four canons that give you the apostolic authority over politicians to excommunicate them. So here they are, bishops. There are four canons that give you the apostolic authority from Christ to excommunicate these fake Catholic politicians who advocate for abortion and other immoral programs. That's Canon 1331, 1332, 1333, and 1334. And also, what's the reason why Joe Biden deserves to be excommunicated? Well, because he refuses to submit to the teachings.
That's right.
Of the perennial teachings of the church.
That's the bottom line.
Of the supreme pontiffs.
You're right.
In the last 2,000 years in the College of Bishops.
Yep.
And in case you're wondering, Bishop, where's that's found? Canon 1752 and 1753. A Catholic who refuses to submit to the teachings of the supreme pontiffs and the College of Bishops on the issue of abortion is subject to excommunication. Canon 752, 753. And there's also Joe Biden. He's an apostate. What's an apostate? Somebody who rejects the teachings of the Catholic Church. That's apostasy. The rejection of the teachings of the Catholic Church. And the canon that gives you the authority to excommunicate him is 751 and 1364. So, Terry, I'm doing the homework, the legwork.
You're doing it for him. Yes. Yes, let me just jump in and say one thing about, you said he rejected the deposit of faith. Do you remember in the debates when he talked about his Catholic faith and saying that I just don't agree with my Catholic church on these issues? Okay. And he blew it off like, so what? But you see, here's the point. Unless it's going to be the inflicted upon him, it's actually the excommunication is really good medicine for him, Jess. And let me tell you why it's good medicine. Because it wakes him up to realize that he has an immortal soul at danger of going to hell for all eternity. The church is warning him in charity to say, knock it off. But Jesse, I got to tell you, the culpability upon leaders, just like me as a father, you're a father. If I let my kids get away with all kinds of immoral things and I don't call them to truth of Jesus Christ, then I'm participating in that sin. Am I on to something, Jess?
Absolutely.
That's how it works.
Yeah, that because we have patriarchal authority, so we have patriarchal responsibility. Yeah,
and the bishops have it on us as lay people. They're shepherds. They're supposed to be spiritual fathers right. to the flock.
That's right. On the LGBT issue, Biden is horrible as well. Remember, he married two men.
Oh, yeah, at the White House. Yep.
Yeah, he's done it. He's done it on several. Two occasions. Yeah. Kamala Harris has also done the same thing on the issue transgenderism. Well, he's already signed that executive order allowing men to participate in female sports. Oh, yeah. So he's all in on the LGBT program. He's a runaway train. This guy is dangerous. Again, the fact of the matter is his malformed, post-Vatican II Catholicism is on full display right now. And Pope John Paul II called what we're seeing right now. He called it the church versus the anti-church.
Yeah, and I want to go back when we come back and talk a little bit about Pope Pius XII, Pope Leo XIII, and what they say about people who dissent and don't agree with the church teachings. And these are teachings that the church has taught for 2,000 years. And again, charity with clarity. But you know what's not charity? To call somebody back to repent. You have to call somebody back to repent. If you just tell them it's okay to be an active homosexual, oh, it's okay to kill unborn babies, that's not charity. That's lying to them, okay? And that's what we're doing to him right now by saying, oh, receive Holy Communion, Mr. Biden. You're the president. Oh, and by the way, keep the funding going. Oh, did I say that, Jesse?
That's right.
And you know what? I meant it, too, because they know if they stop him, he's got the power to take some money away from the federal government to the Catholic Church. I hate to have to say that, Jess, but that's what I see. That's my take on it.
Those are the facts. You're connecting the dots.
Yep. Hey, we'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-526 2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
I'd like to give a shout out here. I'm reading an email. There's an LAPD cop, Adolfo Batres.
Yeah.
He listens to the Terry and Jesse Show from his police car.
God love him.
When he's doing surveillance out there in the streets of Los Angeles. God bless you, Adolfo Batres, for what you do, for putting your life on the line every single day. LA is a tough place to work. And so thank you for listening to the Terry and Jesse Show when you're on your surveillances. God bless you, brother.
Yeah, amen. I was just in L.A., Jesse, the last two weekends, and boy, it was wicked, man. I thought I was in Sodom and Gomorrah out there. Sad. Hey, Jess, I want to bring up something from a couple different popes regarding eternal law, natural law, you know, the foundations of moral laws. And I wanted just to bring up Pope Pius XII. He wrote an encyclical on the mystical body of Christ. Actually, he says, only those who are to be included as members of the church who have been baptized and profess the true faith, who have not been so unfortunate as to separate themselves from the unity of the body, are be excluded by legitimate authority for grave faults committed. And therefore, if a man refuses to hear the church, let him be considered so that the Lord commands as a heathen and a publican. He says, go to Matthew chapter 18. It follows that those who are divided in faith or government cannot be living in the unity of such a body, nor can they be living the life of its one divine spirit. And then he says, this is the cash value, For not every sin, however grave may be, in such as of its own nature to sever a man from the body of Christ, as does schism, heresy, or apostasy. That just describes Joe Biden, in my opinion, Jess.
Completely, which leads me to this article written by TFP. It says, what does it mean to be Catholic? Yeah. The president, the cardinal, and communion for pro-abortion politicians. Let me jump around here to some of the stuff that's really jumps out. It says, throughout his political career, including the 2020 general election, Mr. Biden has favored the legalization of procured abortion.
Yep.
In more recent years, he embraced same-sex marriage, officiating at one while vice president. Post-inauguration, his administration issued a statement specifying its support for abortion and contraception, not only in America, but around the world. Mm. Terry, can you imagine? I mean, this guy has already on day one put himself at complete odds with the moral teachings of the Catholic Church. In the past 4 years, reproductive health, including the right to choose, has been under relentless and extreme attack by the left. The Biden-Harris administration is committed to codifying Roe versus Wade, and in other words, baking this in like cement, and appointing judges that respect foundational precedents like Roe. We're also committed to ensuring that we work to eliminate maternal and infant health disparities, increasing access to contraception, and support families economically so that all parents can raise their families with dignity. What? This commitment extends to our critical work on health outcomes around the world. So notice the verbal engineering from Biden and Harris. They're saying that they want to help raise families with dignity. Wait a minute. How do you raise a family with dignity by advocating for the killing of their newborn and by forcing them to accept anti-Christian laws? How does that bring dignity to the family, Terry?
Yeah, obviously it doesn't, Jesse. This guy is a
wordsmith.
Yeah, he's exactly. But you know, the bottom line in all this, as there, those who defend and procure abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism, not just theologically, but promoting it, the effect, just bottom line, they can't be considered Catholic. And so whenever the media says, oh, and Joe Biden is a devout Catholic, not by the definition the church says. And so I just, again, I don't mean to be a beating drum here, Jess, but the leadership in our church needs to put their big boy pants on and call him out to repent. And if they don't do that, then they're scandalizing the church and it's just going to weaken us even more. That's why, Jess, guys like us, our laymen, we can say things like we're saying here on Virgin Most Powerful. I would imagine if we were a deacon, a permanent deacon,
forget it.
Bishops would take our faculties away and cut us out. But, you know, Bishop Sheen said it's the lay people that are going to save the church. And so we can speak the way we speak because guess what? The bishops don't have any authority over our faculties. We don't have any. We're lay people, and we have a right to speak on the truths of the church. And we also have a right, Jesse, as you know, in canon law, you quote it all the time, to ask our bishops to implement the teachings of the church. And that's what we're doing.
That's right. Pope Leo XIII, in his encyclical, Satis Cognitum.
That's a good one.
It's on the unity of the church. Here's what he says, quote, the church has always regarded as rebels and expelled from the ranks of her children all who held beliefs on any point of doctrine different from her own. He who dissents even in one point from divinely revealed truth absolutely rejects all faith.
That's right.
Since he thereby refuses to honor God as the supreme truth and formal motive of faith. That's very clear.
Yeah.
That Pope says that Joe Biden is outside.
That's right.
Of the pale of orthodoxy, outside of the teachings of the Catholic Church. And so this man who rejects the church and refuses to submit himself to God, he's putting himself outside of the church. In the mystical body of Christ, Pope Pius XII, he writes the following.
Yeah.
Actually, only those who are to be included as members of the church who have been baptized, like Joe Biden, and profess the true faith, like Joe Biden, and who have not been so unfortunate as to separate themselves from the unity of the body or been excluded by legitimate authority for grave faults committed. And therefore, if a man, like Joe Biden, refused to hear the church, let him be considered, so the Lord condemns, as a heathen and a publican, quoting Matthew 18, 17 to 19. It follows, Pope Pius XII says, that those who are divided in faith or government cannot be living in the unity of such a body, nor can they be living the life of its one divine spirit, close quote. For not every sin, however grave may it be, is such as of its own nature to sever a man from the body of Christ, as does schism or heresy or apostasy. So Pope Pius XII is saying, not every sin separates you from the body of Christ, but these three do: schism, heresy, and apostasy. And guess what? Biden is guilty of the two of three. He's guilty of heresy and apostasy, and papal teaching says that puts you outside of the church.
And Jesse, not to just beat up on Mr. Biden, the Catholic Church says, and I remember Father John Hardin, I've quoted him many times on the radio, a Catholic, baptized Catholic that doesn't believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, they're no longer Catholic. What? Huh? Yes, that's what the church teaches. Can you imagine? Look at the numbers of people who are baptized Catholic who don't believe in the real presence. See, you can't deny any of these teachings of the church and continue to call yourself a Catholic. We need to repent. Now, how do you get back into the state of grace, Mr. Biden? It's easy. Repent, get the confession, and change your practices to conform to God's commandments. That goes for me, it goes for Jesse. We all have to repent, and we have to conform our lives to the model of Jesus Christ. And that might sound like we're beating up on Mr. Biden. No, that goes for every one of us on the planet. We all have a call to live a holy life. And Mr. Biden is called to live a life centered on Jesus Christ and not on secular ideas.
We're looking at the prophecies of Akita Japan. They're being played out in full color. Oh, yeah. You got, Raymond Cardinal Burke, former prefect of the Supreme Tribunal.
That's right.
He warned that Mr. Biden has no conditions to receive Holy Communion.
That's right.
And also the Most Reverend Charles Chaput,
he's
the Archbishop Emeritus of Philadelphia.
Yep.
He commented the following, says, quote, public figures who identify as Catholic give scandal to the faithful when receiving communion by creating the impression that the moral laws of the church are optional. And bishops give similar scandal by not speaking up publicly about the issues and danger of sacrilege.
That's right.
Again, these are we have two churches right now.
We do, Jesse, and we need to pray for Cardinal Wilton Gregory, because he's spoken out differently on Catholic News Service. He interviewed there, while some Catholics believe Biden should not be allowed to receive communion when he goes to Mass, the Cardinal Gregory said, for 8 years as vice president, Biden went to Mass and received communion. I'm not going to veer from that, he said. Well, put your big boy pants on. We're going to pray tonight. Every Thursday, we pray for priests, bishops, and the Holy Father that they will proclaim the teachings of Christ through their office as bishop, as pope, as priest. And we'll be praying for him because he's basically wimping out. I call him a coward. Why do I call him a coward? Because he knows that if he calls the president to say, you can't receive Holy Communion, the president's going to retaliate against us. But you know what, Jess? We don't do things because of what someone else is going to tell me. Just like us here at our Sacred Heart Chapel. Some guy had we had a funeral here. They wanted to take the sign to pray to end abortion out of our church. I said, no. He says, I want that sign down. I said, go find another church. This is what we believe in, the sanctity of life. Bishop Strickland does the same thing. He stands up for the faith. We need more cardinals and bishops to not be afraid of paying a price of not being liked or funding, because life is more valuable than being liked or money. That's my take.
So do we see two churches side by side?
Of course.
Sure, yeah. These diverging attitudes in the Catholic Church's hierarchy make every one of us wonder if both these bishops, say like Gregory Wilton and Burke, do they hold the same Catholic faith? That's the question that I'm asking.
They do. It's obvious.
Yeah. So I think what we're seeing here is the new religion emerging from the shadow of the Catholic Church.
Yep.
Let's just be honest.
It is.
Within the one true church, there seems to be two religions that coexist side by side. The religion of orthodoxy and the religion of heterodoxy. Yep. Terry?
That's why we want to continue to remind you the perennial teachings of the church. That's how you know you're doing well. Get your catechism out. This is what we proclaim here on Virgin Most Powerful. We don't take anything else other than what Holy Mother has church has taught for the millennial. This is what we do. And again, we encourage people to have the five stones of King David, live a holy life by going to confession on a regular basis. I'm talking at least once a month. Pray your holy rosary every single day or you're off the team. Read your Bible. Make visits to the Blessed Sacrament and also sacrifice. Remember, Our Lady said that souls are going to hell because no one's waiting to make sacrifices and praying for those people. Are we praying for our president? Are we praying for our church leaders? I hope so. Hey, Jess, what state should we be living in the last 15 seconds, brother?
Last time I checked was the state of grace.
Amen,
and the place you don't want to live in is a state of mortal sin. Get away from there ASAP.
Amen. Up next, Dr. Sandoval, our Virgin Most Powerful.